that grace, we can apprehend the things that you have for us. Amen. That you desire for us to be a people of apprehension, not a people who are afraid, not a people who are nervous, not a people who are worried, but a people who can apprehend, the people can receive. So I pray that we would be taken to a new level of receiving today, that we would be a receptive people, that there would be a release of that magnet in our spirits that attracts revelation, that attracts grace and faith and favor, that each of us would go to another level, that now, today, now, this moment, Lord, there'd be an impartation of your spirit into our spirits that transcends our intellect, that transcends our understanding, that transcends our ability to comprehend something to be able to receive it, but that there would be an impartation into each of us that would enable us, Lord, to be receivers, Father, of more than we've ever had before. To be able to do and go and be more than we've ever done and gone and been, Father. So I thank you for that spirit of wisdom and revelation, for the knowledge of God to be released in us, Lord, and that we would be able to communicate that to others. Lord, I just sense in my heart, Father, that there are people you long to touch, and you look for us to cooperate with you to be vessels of revelation for them. Lord, I want to come against, in the spirit realm, resistances and hindrances and satanic strategies that we've allowed to convince us of the knots, of the knot, I can't or I'm not, that we've allowed ourselves to buy into well-crafted and subtle and powerful demonic lies that hinder us, those demonic powers get activated at the moment when we should be able to be released. We get hindered. We get stopped because we listen to the lie, and it gets activated at the moment of challenge. Lord, I pray that today there would be a deactivation of those lies, Lord. That there would be a disempowering of those lies in each one of us. That there wouldn't be the I can't or I'm not or I don't know what to say or I don't want not to do. And we let the moment pass us by, and that which could have happened didn't happen. But Lord, you forgive us for all of that, because we're all students in school. And this is a classroom, Lord. This is a place of learning and instruction and encouragement for us. So, Lord, in the name of Yeshua, who makes all these things possible, I pray that there would be that impartation into each of us, that the Word of God would be that two-edged sword, Lord, that digs deep into our lives. Father, in the name of Jesus, how many of you want to be transformed? Be careful what you say yes to, because the process of transformation can be a painful process. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, that the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it is able to pierce and separate bone and marrow, soul and spirit. And I think that God uses the analogy of His Word as a sharp sword, because sometimes the process of revelation that frees you is painful. Nobody said amen. Amen. See, when we hear the word pain, something in us recoils and we want to step away from that. But if we're disciples of the kingdom of God, knowing who it is that wants to do a work in us, we can trust Him that it's good, even if it doesn't seem so at the moment. That the end of it would be really what both you and God want. Well, that was a good place to say amen. If you don't know when to say amen, I will help you. But only so much, then you're on your own. So God is looking, and out of this loving kindness and mercy, because He's such a loving, kind God, and He wants to give us so much, but He doesn't give it to us on our terms. He doesn't give it to us on our terms. He doesn't ask you, how would you like the revelation to be given to you? Would you like chocolate sauce with that? Would you like it at, say, 2 o'clock in the afternoon instead of 2 o'clock in the morning? That was a good place to say amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Can I, you know, so he says, okay, I'm going because you've asked. How many of you have prayed the prayer, thy will be done? How many of you prayed that prayer in your life? How many of you know God tricked you when he had you to pray that prayer? Because when all the stuff starts to happen and you're crying out, God, why is this happening? He says, what do you mean, why is it happening? You asked for it. And you say, when did I ask for this? Well, when you said, my will be done, not your will. When you're saying to God, God, we want your will. And he starts doing his will. And then we start, you know, we get all upset. You know, well, I don't like this. You know, I didn't mean this. I meant, you know, what I really want. And I want you to bless it. Because, you know what, when I said that, I really meant, you know, God bless me with my plans. You know, and bless my stuff. How many of you know that God sometimes doesn't want to bless your stuff? How many of you know that God hates idols? How many of you know if God sees your stuff as your idols, he's going to come and get it and then kill it and then ruin it, destroy it? How many of you know God hates idols? Well, this is important for you to get, because if you don't understand these basic kinds of revelatory things from the Torah, where God is revealing himself, that the Bible is a self-revelation of God. It's a self-disclosure. God is saying to you, I'm not what you think I'm like. I'm not like you, and I'm not like you imagine me to be, but this is what I'm like. And then there's the whole revelation in the Torah. And I tell you what, sometimes we need to go back to Genesis and read through the Torah and say to God, show me who you really are. And I'm going to tell you something. You're going to be surprised at some of the things you read there. You will be surprised. But okay, so now we're saying, okay, Lord, I am repenting of putting you in my box. I'm letting you be who you want to be to me. And when I say thy will be done, I really mean I want your will to be done. And I want you to know something, that if you are people who are really praying for the will of God to be done, that is evidence of your salvation. That is an evidence that you are really saved. Because natural people in the flesh are not praying for the will of God to be done. Only people who have something from God inside of them, have had a salvation experience, they are the ones that are praying for the will of God to be done. Are you getting this? Now, I know I've been ministering for many years, and I can tell when I'm starting to speak when demons show up. Okay? Because I know that they don't want you to get this. And I can feel as I'm saying this, an oppression start to come into the room. So I want you to know, if you're starting to feel an oppression, it's not coming from me. It's not coming from me. It's coming from the demonic principalities and powers that are hearing what I'm saying. And they're saying, uh-oh, Morgan's after it again. We better stop it. And then you start getting tired and your mind starts and it's late and it's, oh my God, it's 1 o'clock and Perkins is going to close. Will we get seats? I don't know. You know, if you want to go to such places, you know, there are better places in the world, but some of you really like it. So God bless you. I know it's Minnesota and you know, you get what you can. All right. I get that. Yeah, that's it. Keep pay attention. Hallelujah. Anyway, the enemy is a thief. He is a liar and a thief. You know, if you knew that the thief was coming to steal your wallet or your keys or your car, you'd be watching to make sure that you knew where your wallet, your keys, or the watch or whatever is. Because if you knew that the devil's going to try and steal your car in that parking lot today, you're going to be really, really on guard to make sure he doesn't get it. How many of you would say yes to that? How many of you would say, nah, I don't care, take my car. Man, there are many people like that, spiritually speaking. But so here's the enemy, and his plan is, if I can't stop you, I can steal from you. And having stolen that from you, now I can stop you. Because instead of you having what would set you free, you don't have it. Because I just stole it because you got tired or you got distracted. And you know, part of my responsibility is to identify that what I sense in the spirit and then speak it out there to stop the enemy from being a thief. And we need to be watchmen over one another's souls in that same way. Because you know what? You will be able to hear things that other people are saying that they don't know they're saying. And when you hear it, you'll be saying, wait a minute, that's a lie. And you confront one another with the truth that exposes the lie. So you say to them, don't believe that. That's a lie. Here's the truth. How many of you understand that? This is really important. This is part of you and I, you together as a community of faith, helping one another grow. And many people don't have those relationships in the body of Messiah because, you know, we try to be nice to one another. You know what I mean? We don't speak the truth. Can I tell you that God wants to take us all to another level of discipleship and helping one another learn and change and grow? This is part of what it means to be in a community together, beloved. It's not just that we come together, you know, once or twice a week and have a meeting together, but that we are together on a journey helping each other learn and change and grow. And speaking the truth in love to one another and being speakable to, being changeable, allowing yourself to be open to receive what God wants. Remember, you said amen before when I said, do you want to receive revelation? Are you receivable? You know, and you said, oh, yeah, you got excited. Now you're not so excited anymore. You know, because you're thinking the revelation is going to come. Someone's going to lay hands on you, make the Shanda Boki, and you're going to get it. But there's another time when we speak the truth to one another and it's not so pleasant. How many of you have had not so pleasant experiences with other believers? If your hand isn't up, good news, it's going to happen to you. Hallelujah. Probably sooner rather than later. But here's the thing. When you are, watch this, when you are no longer afraid of the pain that revelation can bring to you, and you're open to what God has got for you because you're not trying to protect yourself, defend yourself. You're not trying to avoid the confrontation, but you've been willing to let the sword of the Spirit separate between soul and spirit. And you enjoy, listen to me, the process of receiving the revelation from God. You find pleasure in the impartation of the Spirit of God into your soul. It's no longer painful. It's pleasurable. When it first started to happen, it was painful because you were living in that soul. That's your identity. That's who you think you are. That's what you think you're like. Oh, I'm this kind of a person. I'm that kind of a person. I could never go in the front. I could never sing in front of people. I could never preach to people. I could never share the gospel with strangers or whatever because you have that picture of yourself. But you pray the prayer, Lord, I want your will in my life. He begins to do this revelational thing. He begins to change you. Things start to happen inside of you. And in the beginning, it can be very painful. How many of you have had painful experiences with God? Look around at the hands that are up. Keep your hands up. This is important. Because we have to recognize that this is the common experience of God dealing with his children. Keep your hands up. It won't hurt your arms. Keep your hands up. It's really important because there's a declaration in the spirit that the demons hate. The demons hate when we're not afraid of pain. The demons hate when you're not afraid of pain. When you're saying, Lord, yes, sometimes that two-edged sword piercing my soul has been painful, but the outcome of that piercing is that I've been delivered from the power of my soul and I'm freer in the spirit than I've ever been before. Look around at your hands. Because then we can help one another in the moments of pain and recognize that the difficult times, the painful times, are a normal part of the process of growing up. Amen. How many of you want to grow up? Yeah. Okay, you can put your hands down now. I can see you're going to need a chiropractor in an hour. So here we are. Yes. See, God is looking, and this is one of the things, you know, Ed, I love about you and Alberta is that you have a passion for the Lord and for his purposes, and you don't care if people like it or not, because we're after the King. We're after the prize of knowing Christ Jesus, the Messiah, of having the seed of Abraham to be a place where the Holy Spirit is free, like our brother testified. You know, we got a performance report. Amen. The Holy Spirit is free here. And that's one of the things I've always valued about you and your ministry. And you've been faithful to that from the beginning, you know, and you're continuing to be faithful. And that's a legacy in the spirit. And one of the reasons this place gives the Lord Jesus so much pleasure is because he knows he can find a place, not a perfect. There is no perfect place. The only perfect place is in heaven, of just men made perfect. Right now, we're all in process. How many of you are in process? We're all in process. If your hand isn't up, your arm hurts or you're a liar, okay? Because we're all in process. And you find people, oh man, they're so carnal, or they're so this, or did you see him, or did you see her? Like, why are we looking at one another? I mean, isn't there better places to look than at one another? I mean, look around. I mean, come on, you know. It's like when people start talking about one another, I said, don't you have something better to talk about? You know, why are you talking about one another? You should be talking about yourself and Jesus. This is much better. Oh, that was a good place to say amen. See, the devil loves gossip and slander. He loves to get us looking at one another. Look at how she's dressed. Look at how he's here. He hasn't had a haircut in 3 years or whatever. How many of you know what I'm talking about? How many have been at meetings, you know, and Sunday afternoon, the people in the church ate roast pastor for lunch? How many know what I'm talking about? How many of you are guilty and you're not like, oh God, don't say that. Yeah, okay, listen, gossip and slander is raw meat to the carnivore demons that just are hungry to eat that. Yes, let's talk about her. Let's talk about him. Let's not talk about us and our sin. Let's talk about them and their sin. How many of you know what I'm talking about? How many of you want to say amen to that? How many of you are repenting as I'm saying it? Hallelujah. Good. Hallelujah. So we're going to focus on the revelation that God wants to bring to us because he wants to change us. The purpose of the revelation is to change you to be like him so that he can do the work inside of you that will enable him to trust you with more of his kingdom purposes. You understand what this is all about? This is a classroom in teaching you how to rule and reign. If you say yes, he'll continue to teach you, and he's no respecter of persons. He will teach anybody who says yes, teach me to rule and reign. You know, oh, that was a good place to say amen. Because somebody, you know, many times people think, oh, you're special. There's nobody special in the kingdom of God except the king himself. He's the only special person in the kingdom of God. You know, you meet people who are anointed, who are serving the Lord. I tell you what, you go and study their biography and you'll see lessons in overcoming pain. You'll see lessons in overcoming defeat, lessons in overcoming betrayals and things like that. And when you learn these lessons, you know what? In the school of the Spirit, when you learn the lesson and pass the test, you get promoted. If you fail to learn the lesson and you fail to pass the test, it's not like the public school system. You don't get promoted. You don't get promoted because you get older. That's why there are people who've been in church for 30 or 40 years and they're in stage one of their spiritual growth. They're still in kindergarten because when they came to that moment of the test, they refused to pass the test. They refused to repent. Come on, you know, I've been in church with you, well, you know, as you have for many years, and we've met many, many people who stubbornly will sit in church week after week with their arms crossed, you know, resisting the Holy Spirit. I have been in meetings and I could see by the look on people's faces, their arms crossed, their face all gnarled up, you know, like it came out of a Hollywood special effects studio. You know, just how ugly can you look? It's like, oh, please. You know, and recognizing that body language is not resisting me, but resisting the Holy Spirit as if they're saying, I dare you to say something I don't know. And my response is, I'm looking at them, it's like, oh, you're really funny. Give me some popcorn. This is great. Because they're swearing to their own hurt. You know, they're putting themselves in the place where the Holy Spirit can do nothing in them. And they will be shocked on the day of revelation when their lives prove to be wood, hay, and stubble, not precious stones. If they even get in. If they even get in. Because Jesus is very clear that there are people who are not getting in. You know, who say they are, and he will say to them, I don't know you. I went to church every year, every week. I don't know you, but I went to church, and there's no attendance awards. Well, at least I get an attendance award, right? Like a little blue star or something. No, it's none of that stuff. So God is looking. He's searching for those he can teach and train. And he's searching for those who will help each other learn and grow. See, when we're in the process of helping one another, we're creating a community in the Spirit that goes far beyond church attendance, that far beyond congregational, going to meetings. You know, we become helpers of one another's joy. But listen to me, please. You have to be intentional about that. You have to be intentional about it. You have to be intentional in your own heart that says, Lord, I want to learn, I want to change, I want to grow, and I want to help everybody around me, show me, give me wisdom to do that. And he'll start to give you wisdom to do it, and he'll teach you. And you know, if you make a mistake because you don't speak the truth in the kind of love you should, or you don't say it in the right way, or you don't get the beam out of your own eye, and somebody rebukes you because you didn't do it in the right way, well, guess what? At that moment, you don't try and justify yourself. Harumph, harumph. How many of you have harumph demons? How many of you know what a harumph demon is? You know, some of you, I have to help these guys. Okay, you're getting it. They need some help. You know, when you've met people like that, perhaps you still have, you were, or maybe you are. You know, where if somebody confronts you or somebody says something to you, you get that harumph, you know, that kind of attitude. See, that's the demons stopping you from receiving the revelation that you need to change and grow because you get stuck in yourself. But if you become intentional about speaking the truth and love to one another and you don't do it so good and they tell you, you know, you didn't do that the right way, you could say, thank you for telling me that. Thank you for telling me what I didn't do and how I didn't do it, because now I can learn from that. So the next time, because I want to be faithful to the Lord, the next time I can do it right. Now we're starting to help one another because we're looking at each other with a mentality and a mindset and a heart set that says, how can I help my brothers and sisters grow? Now, you may not be able to help everybody. You probably won't. But you'll have an attitude of heart before the Lord that says, God, anybody that I can help, I want to. And anybody that can help me, please, Lord, send them because I need help. How many of you need help? Oh, hands, both hands waving. You're like, yes, Lord, help me. Don't you love it when help comes? Don't you love it? I mean, I love it when I get help. Oh, God, thank you for help, especially when my computers go wacky. You know what I'm talking about? How many of you pride? Oh, God, either kill this machine or heal it or do something with this thing. It doesn't work. It's supposed to work when you press this button, and it doesn't. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And then you call the computer guy, and he goes, oh, you have to do this and this and this. Well, it didn't say I had to do this and this. How many of you know what I'm talking about? So using that analogy, which all of us are so familiar with, it's the same dynamic in our relationships with one another, and we get help. Listen to me, please. I believe that one of the things that the Lord wants to release here is an attitude of being helpful and being helpable. Being helpful and being helpable. So there's no resistance. There's just, Lord, we've got this. Look at the people that are here. And I look at you and I see resources for spiritual life and growth that you don't even know you have. Because we tend to judge the book by its cover. We don't get proactive. We don't get intentional. We don't dig deeper into the treasure that's in the earthen vessel around us. And we just are easy to dismiss one another. But instead, what we have to do, is be proactive about seeking the treasure in one another. Because inside of you, watch this, you're saying to the Lord, Lord, I want to learn. I want to change. I want to grow. Send me people that can help me. And I'm willing to help anybody who will receive me to help them. You pray that prayer. In the spirit, you release a dynamic inside of you to learn and change and grow. And nobody can do that for you but you. Well, that was a good place to say amen. I'm helping you along the way. Otherwise, you know what? Your level of growth will either stop or slow down significantly. Because you just simply go from week to week to week at the place where you are and nothing changes. How many of you have been in seasons where nothing has changed? But you didn't change because you weren't proactively setting yourself in the place of change and praying the prayer, Lord, I want your will. Send me what I need. And when he does it, you don't complain and you don't resist it because it's painful. No, Lord, I don't like this. This isn't good. I don't like it. It's painful. And you resist it rather than saying, God, I have prayed for your will to be done. I have prayed for your rulership, your kingdom over my life. I have prayed to learn and change and grow. And all of this that looks like it's the exact opposite of what should be going on is in fact not the opposite of what should be going on, but the exact thing that you need to be going on to help you learn and change and grow. Are you getting this? See, the demons don't like this. They knew we were, the Holy Spirit was going in this direction. Didn't want you to get it. They still don't want you to get it. I can feel that resistance in the atmosphere. So in the name of Jesus, all you demons, you can just leave and go. You don't have any place here. Because I'm not going to stop until the Holy Spirit releases me to stop. Because there is a word. Word of God heals us. The Word of God delivers us. And there's a word that God wants me to speak into the spirit realm here. Because if you get it and it starts to work inside of you, you'll never be the same. And everybody around you will never be the same. Because you won't let them be the same. Because you'll be intentionally proactive and desiring for them to learn, change, and grow. And at the same time, you're intentionally desiring for yourself to learn and change and grow. So that you're not satisfied with simply superficial relationships. How are you? Nice to see you. See you next week. You're not satisfied with that. You're digging deeper into what is the word of the Lord to you? What are you doing about it? Can I help you? What is God saying to you? What are you doing about it? And they're saying to you, well, what is God saying to you and what are you doing about it? You know, that's a really good question. I'm so glad you asked because I need the intellectual stimulation. I need the spiritual stimulation. I need the interaction from the body to help me think about things. We all need that. We've all got stuff stuck in our head. And if we can't speak it out, and you know, we've all used that expression, you know, thinking out loud. And the dynamic just helps us. The conversation is therapeutic because you didn't realize what was going on until you could articulate it. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Because that's just the way we are as human beings. God has built us for community. When God deals with Israel, he doesn't deal with Israel as individuals. He deals with Israel as a nation. The Jewish people see themselves as a nation in the body of Christ, especially in the Western world. We're too individualized. You know, we got this whole rugged individualism mentality. That is not biblical and it's not kingdom. God has so crafted the body together that we are built into one another, every joint supplying according to the healthy working thereof. And I believe there's another level of intentional building one another together by being open to learning, changing, growing, and being open to be helped as well as helping other people. And you make an intentional decision, and making that decision allows the sword of the Spirit to pierce your heart, because in your soul, you might be resistant to that. In your soul, you may not be open to other people speaking into your life. How many of you know what I'm talking about? How many of you know where we build up these walls and barriers and we don't let anybody in and we keep other people out and we walk around with this resistance, and you all know what I'm talking about because we've all been part of it. But God, let me say this to you. I believe the Lord wants to strike a blow to that resistance in us today. And the only way he can do that in your life is if you allow him to send that sword of the Spirit to break that, separate soul from spirit, so your spirit comes alive. Paul, I love that word you brought. You know, that was so powerful. It was powerful for me. Thank you. You were helping me today get another bit, because, you know, we all only know in part. You know, if I know more than you, that doesn't mean very much, because we all only know in part. You know, the people who think, well, I know that. It strikes me as some of the most patently absurd things that I have ever heard in my life when people, ministers, are talking about the fact of how much they know. Because, you know, it just struck me. I mean, one time the Lord was showing me stuff about how absurd that is. He said to me, people who say they know. I know the Bible and I know the Lord and I know more than you and nobody can teach me because I know. When the Bible says we all only know in part, you know, and this is a small part. And what the Lord showed me is that people who are arrogantly resistant to learning and changing and growing because they think they know so much, they're like people who are standing on the shore of the Atlantic or the Pacific Ocean with a little Dixie cup full of ocean water. And holding it up and boasting about how much ocean water they have, while the whole limitless depths of the Atlantic is standing behind them laughing at them as if. Come on, do you understand the absurdity of all of this? So, but if you're humble in your heart and say, oh, I know so little, and there's so much more. Now I'm with people and I'm thinking, oh, can you teach me something today? Because my heart is open, my ears are open, I'm paying attention. My notebook is open. My pen is ready. It's like, Lord, teach me today. And I've been in a lot of meetings. You know, there were nutty stuff. How many of you have been in nutty meetings? Hallelujah. You got to work on this side, guys. There's not so much. You know, and I've been in places and, you know, and after the meeting, people are talking about, and they were right in their assessment of what was going on. But I said to them, you know what? I saw all of that, but I was not focused on that. That was not my point of interest. This person and that person and that behavior and that stuff. I wasn't interested in the sideshow. I'm interested in the main event. I'm interested in the King of Glory. So I'm sitting there and saying, Lord Jesus, if you want me to learn something, I am open. Teach me what you want me to learn. I don't care about everybody else's mishigas. You know that craziness. Because there's, how many of you know there's no shortage of mishuganas in the body of Christ? How many of you know there's no shortage of mishuganas that come to the seed of Abraham? This has had its litany of mishuganas come and go. And there might be some of you sitting here, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think I'm about to be arrested by the police officer. Oh, my God. Oh, thank you. Oh, she's a servant. You'll not lose your reward.
Should have done it sooner.
Thank you. So, what are you paying attention to? Are you paying attention to the sideshow, or are you paying attention to the main event? Are you paying attention to what you're... Now, this is you're paying attention. That is, you're being intentional about what you're paying attention to. Lord, I'm paying attention to you, what you're saying to me, because I want to learn and change and grow. I'm not satisfied with where I am. How many of you are satisfied with where you are? Don't raise your hand. You don't want to... You don't raise your hand. You're not. You shouldn't be. In fact, every true disciple of the kingdom of God has an ongoing sense of divine dissatisfaction. No matter how much fruit you've borne, you know there's more. You know, you've gone to a country, you've seen signs, wonders, miracles, you've touched people, but on the way back, there's something that says there is more. There's more. You hear the Lord say, well done, my good and faithful servant. But there's more. Because what did Jesus say? Every tree that bears fruit, what does my Father come and do? Prunes it. Why? He wants more fruit. Bigger fruit. Better fruit. More fruit. And we have to be intentional in our relationship with one another. Well, that says, you know you've done well, but there's more. You've done well, but there's more. You're doing good, but there's more. And they're saying that to you. Yeah, and you did really well, but there's more. And each of us are saying, yeah, let's go after more. Let's not settle here. Let's not settle for good worship. Let's not settle for good meetings. Let's not settle for anything till the kingdom of God comes. And being intentionally proactive about helping one another get there. This is the word that the Lord is stirring in my spirit for you, that we're helpers of one another's joy, that we become intentional and proactive about helping one another. This is the thing the enemy is fighting. I can feel that as I'm saying it. You know, there's this, you know, there's this resistance, and you can maybe feel the oppression as I'm feeling it, you know, because this is the essence of what the Lord wants you to get today. And this is what the enemy does not want you to get. He does not want you to be intentionally helping one another grow and intentionally being open to being helped to grow. So that my relationship with you, your relationship with one another is not, oh, she's a nice girl and he's a nice guy and that's a nice couple and he's a nice preacher or whatever. None of that. It's go, whoa, let's go way beyond that and say, okay, my relationship with you has to be focused on helping you learn and change and grow. And your relationship with me has to be focused on helping him learn and change and grow. Are you getting this? You're becoming intentional. This is how you become receivable. You'll put yourself in the place where you say to the Lord, yes, Lord, I want what you want for me. Good place to say amen. I want what you want for me. It doesn't matter if anybody wants it or anybody doesn't. Nobody, that's the sideshow. How many of you know we've got stumbled because we watched other people do it or not do it? And that's the sideshow. Like, why should it matter to you who is not going on with the Lord? What should matter to you is if you're going on with the Lord and you're helping other people go on with the Lord because they're helping you and you're focusing on that. You've only got so much emotional, psychological, and spiritual capital to spend on any given day. Why waste it on people who are not following the Lord? Let's pour it into people who are following, and let them pour theirs into you as you're following, so we're intentionally creating a dynamic. And it can't be created by God waving a magic wand, so to speak. And woof, all of a sudden. It'll happen because you do it. You understand he wants to train you. He wants to teach you. He wants you to learn and change and grow so that on the great day, he can say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You did what I told you to do. You were helping people. You were giving them their rations at the proper time. You were being open to be helped, and you were helping other people. And you were intentionally praying for that. So when you come to the meeting or you meet somebody, there's an intentionality that says, how can I help you learn? How can I help you change? How can I help you grow? And if I can't help you, that's okay. I can pray for you that you will find the one who will help you. That book or those CDs. I get points with my Janet when I do stuff like that. That'll help you grow. Because this whole, you know, we are blessed in our country with the resources that we have. Books and CDs and podcasts now and the whole internet thing. But you know, if you're not intentional, it won't happen. Helpers of one another's joy, open to the process of revelation, even if it hurts you. That sword of the spirit, separating soul and spirit, those soulish issues that are the negative, I'm not, I can't, I won't. And the Holy Spirit coming and separating you, the Word of God coming and separating you from all of your old stuff and revealing who you are in the Spirit. Isn't there something really deep inside of you curious about who you are in the Spirit? I mean, who you really are in the Spirit. And then there's an old curiosity I get when I meet people, like, who are you in the Spirit? And who will you become? Because, you know, we don't know what this is going to look like on that day. And I think some of us are going to be shock-a-rood. You're going to meet this glorified being. They're going to recognize you, but you won't recognize them. And they'll say, hello, how you doing, Frank? And Frank will go, who are you? Oh, I am. And they goes like, wow, that's you? What happened to you? Oh, I became a disciple of the kingdom of God, and this is what God did in my life. I'm picking on you, Frank, because this is your day today. Follow what I'm saying to you. But our role as servants is to help you discover who you really are and not let you settle for who you are in your soul because of your past. I was hurt. Listen, we've all been hurt, but Jesus is the healer. There's no reason to stay in your past. There's no reason to stay in your pain. There's no reason to stay in the person who was hurt or abused or used or whatever. Jesus has redeemed us, Paul says, such as you were. But now you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Get healed and get over it, and let's get on with it. Get healed, get over it, and let's get on with it. Instead of, you know, using that as an excuse. Well, Rabbi, I can't really grow in the Lord because I was hurt when I was 16 and 18 and 21. And so I just choose to, you know, use that as a good excuse for my laziness and my irresponsibility or my lack of faith, you know, so I could just be, you know, because I actually, in my soul, I like being lazy. I like being irresponsible. I like people taking care of me. I like not having to go to work. I like, you know, being homeless. I like this or I like that, because they use that as an excuse. Listen, when we pastored in New York City, we met a lot of homeless people. And, you know, we offered them help. And people said, I don't want help. I like this. I don't have to get up. I don't have to go to work. I don't have any responsibilities. You know, I don't care if I live on the street. I don't care if I eat out of, that's what they told me. I don't care if I eat out of garbage cans. You know, I like this. I don't have any responsibilities. I don't have to bathe. I don't have to put clothes on. People don't like me. I don't care if I smell like God knows what. I don't care. This is what they told me. They chose that lifestyle because they didn't want the responsibilities, and other people don't want to grow, and they're always going back to their past, and their past now determines their future. Let me tell you, in the Lord Jesus, your past does not determine your future. What determines your future is the Word of God to you. What the Lord says, you are, and I'll make you this. Your name was Jacob, now you'll be Israel. Your name was this, now it will be that. And we're going to help each other live in who you really are. Not in your past, not in your pain, not in your failures, not in the hurts, but in the call of the Lord in the word of God to you. Because that's our destiny, beloved. That's our inheritance in the Messiah, that your past doesn't determine your future. He determines your future if you're willing to let it happen. And if someone's not willing, you can't make them willing. You can only say, okay, I'll pray for you and go to the next person who is willing, no matter what they look like. No matter what they, because if they're, you know, they're, well, help me get over this. You know, help me learn, help me change. And God is looking for a people who will be intentional helpers of one another, learning, changing, and growing. Intentionally helping one another and intentionally being one who can be helped. One who can be taught. One who can learn. Let's pray. Great King, I can sense in the spirit warfare over this word today, Lord. And Lord, if there's that kind of warfare over this word, the enemy doesn't want us to get it. He doesn't want us to get this. So Father, in the name of Jesus, we bind the strategies of Satan and the seed of Abraham that stop people from getting this word, about being helpers of one another's learning and changing and growing and being helpable to learn and change and grow. We declare this word over the seed of Abraham that as a community of people, we will be intentional about this. We won't just be people who come to meetings and smile at one another, but we'll intentionally be focused on helping one another and being helpable. I just seal that in the name of Jesus. And all you demons that want to rob the seed of Abraham from this word, I bind you and command you to loose everybody in this place that they can be such disciples. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Give him some praise. He is worthy.